Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear from the Safe House for Progressive Nonviolence in Boulder, or SPAN. They'll talk about why victims of domestic violence are especially vulnerable during this time, particularly when people are being told to stay home. For many, that could be a dangerous situation, but SPAN wants people to know that the shelter remains open for those seeking refuge. After that, the Nine News health fairs typically happen all over Colorado at this time of year. With the COVID-19 crisis, this year's fairs aren't happening as scheduled. But we'll hear how there are still many resources available online. Then, a non-coronavirus story. We'll hear about an historic house owned by the City of Boulder, which is getting new tenants. No listener comments left on the comment line this week, so we'll go to BBC for headlines at the bottom of the hour, and then it's time for science. And today on How on Earth, the University of Colorado sleep researcher Mark Opp talks about the interaction between sleep and the immune system. At 9 o'clock, it is the wit and wisdom of Alan Watts running out this morning's news and public affairs. Then at 9:30, EC is your DJ for the morning sound alternative. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Yesterday evening, the City of Boulder announced a new public health order directing individuals to stay at home. The order goes into effect at 5 p.m. today, and it remains in effect through April 10th, but it may be extended as needed. The order states that all people in the City of Boulder stay home, and for businesses to implement work from home policies and delivery of goods to the greatest extent possible. All individuals are encouraged to conduct only essential activities that are necessary to promote health and safety. These include getting groceries, getting medical supplies, and getting outdoors only if strict social distancing is observed. That means staying at least 6 feet from other people. Businesses that can't implement work from home policies and which provide essential services should continue to implement social distancing for all workers, as well as personal protection equipment, as recommended for those employees. The order will be discussed at tonight's virtual City Council meeting. Yesterday's order by the City of Boulder came just hours after Denver Mayor Michael Hancock made a similar directive for the City and County of Denver. That order also goes into effect from 5 p.m. today and remains in effect until at least April 10th. Speaking at a press conference on Monday, Mayor Hancock said that this is not a recommendation, but it is now an order for City of and County of Denver to stay home. Residents in Denver, like Boulder, are being asked to only leave their homes for groceries, medical supplies and medication. Police will be advising people on the streets about the new order, but Mayor Hancock did say that they would not issue tickets or arrest people. The initial order issued earlier on Monday also specified that liquor stores and recreational marijuana stores were to close. That led to a run on both types of establishments later in the day. And on Monday evening, the order was revised to say that such shops would remain open, assuming that extreme social distancing was practiced. Medical marijuana dispensaries are considered essential and will remain open. Restaurants will still be allowed to make to-go orders. Governor Polis has been reluctant to issue a statewide stay-at-home order, despite pleas to do so that are being made by different medical organisations. On Monday, the Colorado Academy of Family Physicians wrote to the governor, asked him to order that everyone in the state of Colorado stay home or at their place of residence, except as needed. The letter also called for the creation of central testing sites where clinicians can also receive COVID-19 testing. The letter said that the governor's order that was issued on Sunday directing all non-critical workplaces to reduce their in-person workforce by 50% was inadequate in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. The group also pointed out the deficit of personal protective equipment in the state for medical professionals. Colorado now has 720 known positive cases of the novel coronavirus. Seven people have died. Testing remains an issue. On Monday, the state moved its drive-through coronavirus testing lab to Montrose. Hospitals in the Denver area say that they now have capabilities to test for the virus, but people are being asked not to go to their doctors if they have symptoms. Rather, people are asked to call their medical provider's office or the emergency room in the case of an emergency prior to seeking medical care. In other news, on Monday, Governor Jared Polis signed into law a measure abolishing the death penalty in the state. It goes into effect on July 1st. The governor also commuted the sentences of the three men who were serving on death row in the state to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Colorado is now the 22nd state to abolish the death penalty. And in the weather today, sunny skies in the forecast, highs close to 60 degrees, but breezy conditions overnight and into Wednesday. Highs tomorrow in the low 60s, similar temperatures on Thursday before a cool off Thursday night, with a chance of a rain snow mix coming in Thursday night and snow showers likely for Friday, with temperatures dropping into the low 40s. It is 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. With the new stay-at-home orders being issued for Denver and Boulder, advocates for people who may be in a dangerous domestic situation are raising the alarm about how some people are even more vulnerable during the current crisis. I spoke with Anne Tapp, the executive director of SPAN. That's the Safe House Progressive Alliance for Nonviolence in Boulder.
You know, this is unprecedented times for all of us, and certainly everyone's experiencing a level of anxiety and concern, and the impact that that has on survivors of domestic violence is exponential. Many people are kind of sheltering at home, but for domestic violence survivors who are living with their abuser, that's actually an increased danger for them. So, we're doing all that we can to ensure that our services remain available and accessible to people who need us during this time. And of course, our 24-hour crisis line is fully operational and our shelter is open, and other services are available primarily through phone counseling and advocacy over the phone and video conferencing. So it is a time of anxiety and fear and concern, but it's also a time where we're encouraging people to think about ways that they can connect with each other, be a helpful neighbor, reach out in ways that we normally don't. And, our themes are really around compassion, concern, and connection. And the irony of this pandemic is that it provides us an opportunity to be a community in a different way. And we're hoping that all of us can rise to that challenge.
We'll talk about how there has been so many positive community responses in the wake of this. But really, to continue what you were saying, Anne, in terms of when we're being told to stay home, to self-isolate, for people who might be going through some type of domestic violence situation where they're already vulnerable because of being isolated, how can we support people like that in these times?
Well, the first thing that we can do is reach out. So if we have someone in our lives that we're concerned about or that we know is in a relationship that's volatile, reach out, give them a call, set up a Zoom video, a phone call, or be there. And, the sort of social distancing doesn't mean social isolation. And now more than ever, we really do need to reach out to people in our lives. It can be as simple as just, a phone call. How's it going? I know things are stressful. Is there anything I can do for you? Or if you're concerned about your neighbor and you're starting to hear arguments, go ahead and knock on the door and then step back so you have proper distance. But just let people know we're here for you. it's hard for everyone. Is there anything I can do? Sometimes during the most stressful times, what we need is human contact. And that's increasingly difficult as we have sort of the need to keep physically distant, but that doesn't need to mean emotionally distant.
In terms of what we are seeing right now in terms of positive community response, I mean, what have you been particularly heartened by?
You know, we've just had just some wonderful outreach. We had great folks over at J&L Distillery that manufactured a batch of hand sanitizer for us when we were out of hand sanitizer. We had our wonderful friends at Blue Spruce Construction who Sandy Weeks was able to find one of her subcontractors who had a few of the N95 masks. So we went from zero masks at our shelter to at least having three. And people reaching out, wanting to know what they can do to help. I think as we all sort of get through the initial shock of what this pandemic really means in our lives, that there'll be more opportunities for people to reach out, feel like they're doing their part to kind of help the community get through this incredibly challenging time. We have our wonderful kitchen manager who, in addition to making great meals for the residents and staff who are doing diligent work in our emergency shelter, she also put together food baskets that our housing team have been delivering to our housing clients in the community. So people are stepping up, and that's really what's hopeful about this incredibly difficult time is certainly crises has the potential to bring out the worst in people. It also has the potential to lift us up and bring out the best in the community, and we're seeing some of that.
Well, if people are listening right now and they're feeling, extra vulnerable because of what is going on, and maybe they are experiencing a domestic violence situation, what resources are out there right now? I mean, is the shelter still operational? Can people still come and seek refuge? I mean, what resources are there? What information can you give people?
Yeah, we are, we never stop. So SPAN's 24-hour crisis line is up and operational. We encourage people who are themselves experiencing stress or abuse to reach out. The crisis line is 303-444-2424. Or if you have a friend or a family member or neighbor, coworker, someone that you're concerned about, call the crisis line. Talk to one of the crisis line advocates and counselors about your concerns. You know, we're kind of learning this together as we go. There are the strategies that normally we would suggest for survivors, just leave the house. That's not necessarily going to be an effective strategy for some people. So we're not, we're in it together. If you're concerned about someone, please call and work with the crisis line responder around what some options might be. And the shelter it's up and running. It is difficult. And I know we've heard a lot about just the remarkable work of healthcare providers. I also want to just remind the community, we have shelter advocates, both in domestic violence shelters and in shelters serving people experiencing homelessness, who are putting themselves at some level of risk by, showing up and doing their shift and being a resource to people living in shelters who have no other options. So, I'm incredibly proud of our staff that have, just stepped up and are putting themselves on the line and are continuing to support the survivors that really do need our help more than ever now.
And how can the community help? You mentioned some local businesses that have been helping you out, J&L Distilling, making sanitizer for your shelter. Local businesses have donated food and masks. What can the general public do?
Well, we're encouraging people to consider sending us e-gift cards that we can then send out to clients who aren't in the shelter but are in housing or living in the community and are in need of support or resources. And we're asking people to continue to be generous and contribute to our work. We're anticipating additional expenses of close to $10,000 a week just in maintaining our services, compensating our staff appropriately, and being a resource to the hundreds of counseling and housing and advocacy clients who are in the community and need more support than ever. Those of us that, you know, enjoyed going to restaurants regularly, we're encouraging people to think about the money they're saving now going to restaurants and providing that those donations back to organizations like SPAN or other nonprofits that are continuing to try to serve the community during a very, very difficult time.
Anne Tapp is the executive director of SPAN, that is the Safe House Progressive Alliance for Nonviolence. It's in Boulder. You can find out more information at safehousealliance.org. Their 24-hour crisis hotline is 303-444-2424. That's 303-444-2424. Or you can email hotline@safehousealliance.org. It is 8:22. You're listening to KGNU. Well, at this time of year, Coloradans typically attend health fairs that are being held around the state to get basic medical screenings at low cost. For many, particularly those with no health insurance or with high deductible insurance plans, the fairs can offer the only opportunity to get needed health screenings. Well, with the COVID-19 crisis, the 9 News health fairs have been postponed. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Virginia Garcia-Pivic with the 9 News health fairs.
Well, as you know, Nankle's Fair is the largest volunteer-driven nonprofit health, wellness and prevention effort in the country, not only in the region or in the state. And unfortunately, due to this public interest in COVID-19, otherwise known as the coronavirus, we have decided to postpone the spring Nankle's Fair season as a proactive measure to its ongoing commitment to keep the Coloradans healthy amid this situation with the coronavirus. They normally are hosted in late March through early May across Colorado, but unfortunately, due to the situation, it's going to be postponed to a later date in 2020. As most of you may know, for more than 41 counting 2020, 9 News and Nankle's Fair have maintained a partnership focus on keeping Colorado healthy through preventive care, health awareness, and Nankle's Fair will continue to advance this health awareness effort across the Colorado area and keep providing people with the tools they need to take responsibility for their own health, but we're going to do so in a different manner. We're going to try to do so in the next weeks and days and months to come via the information we're spreading through our Nankle's Fair expert working in the news, Dr. Paul Coley, via information online, virtual town halls, new fair dates, and information for all of those who may have questions about the pre-purchase screenings. And also, we have a ton of tools, digital tools, with Nankle's Fair website, with Nankle's Fair Facebook pages in English and Spanish, Nankle's Fair en Español, and also with 9 News digital platforms where you can address your concerns, the questions you may have regarding coronavirus, and also our expert, Dr. Paul Coley, addressing most of those concerns.
How important is to get information from places, I'm going to say from sources that are the right ones?
I think it's really important to be on the preventive side of our health. I think it's really important to own our health. I think it's really important to make sure that you're contacting the right sources of information. It's very common for humanity to panic in these situations of pandemic crisis. And I think most of the individuals who may be hearing information at all times may enter into a panic mode, and at some point they may even believe, I don't know who else to follow. I don't know who else to believe. There's so much information out there, but check your sources. Make sure you're really contacting relevant sources. Make sure you contact, for example, your Coloradian authorities. Check the governor's page. Check the mayor in your city's page. Check whatever is going on in your health organizations locally and regionally. Not only follow your friends' Facebook pages, which might be amazing, and we love your friends, but in these times of crisis, I think it's really important, and it's really the respectful and kind and socially thing to do, the approved and the rightful thing to do, to follow the true sources of information. I'm sometimes a little bit sad to see that there's a lack of information in different languages, and it's wonderful that we have most of them in English, but how about those persons who are monolingual or monocultural and who just been inserted into the country and the culture and who may be experiencing not only the paranoia or the fear factor, but also the lack of understanding literature that might be around them. I think it's really important that if you have the capability to even translate or be an interpreter for those persons, do your share. And I think the most important thing to keep in mind right now is also to do our socially accepted responsibility, our new reality, which is stay home. If you have the capability to work remote from your home, do so. If you're sick, please, by all means, avoid any crowds, even if it's a minor crowd. It's staggering and appalling to me that I keep seeing folks going out there to rec centers or to events or concerts or even sermons in church. And I love my pastor. But guess what? This is a new reality. This is the new way we're living in humanity, even here in Colorado. So this is the way we have to get accustomed to the new ways. Is it going to be 8 weeks, 10 weeks? I don't know. Only the future will tell. But the sooner and the faster we get around the new situation, the faster altogether we're going to come out of this safer and sound. So whatever your industry is, protect yourself, protect the ones you love. Your interest is loving others, respecting others, distancing yourself from others. If you have a neighbor who is an elderly, offer them to get them their medicines or some food. Leave it at the doorstep. Don't enter the house. Just knock on the door. Just wave hands. That's the new way today. We don't give hugs anymore. But just be kind to the ones who may need you the most.
That's Virginia Garcia-Pivic with the Nine News Health Fair, speaking with KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Batter. The health fairs typically begin this time of year, but they have been cancelled due to the current crisis. Now, you can find all of our coverage of the crisis, as well as information and resources, online at kgnu.org. There's also panel discussions we've recently hosted with virologists and public health specialists, and links to reputable sources, all online at kgnu.org. Well, no comments left on the comment line this week. Instead, we'll have a little bit of different news that's non-coronavirus related. An historic house owned by the City of Boulder on University Hill is getting new tenants. But as KGNU's Ros Brown tells us, some think the original tenants never quite left.
If you know the grand home at 1206 Euclid Avenue, it's likely because it was the Boulder History Museum for three decades. The museum moved downtown 2 years ago, and the city began soliciting bids from interested renters. The new tenant came forward to thank City Council at a meeting last week.
My name is Sarah Murray, and I'm the Executive Director of Women's Wilderness. If you've not heard of us, we're a local nonprofit that's been here for about 21 years.
21 years is a long time in Boulder, but the new home of Women's Wilderness is a tad older. That would be the Harbeck-Bergheim House, built in 1899 by a wealthy New Yorker named John Harbeck. Harbeck and his wife Kate spared no expense on their three-story summer retreat. It was built with Indiana limestone and features fireplaces framed with Italian tiles, plus an enormous Art Nouveau stained glass window in the grand staircase. But the couple spent only 10 summers there before John died while on a trip to New York, and Kate moved back east permanently. The house was empty for 20 years, until purchased by the Bergheim family, who stayed four decades. According to Murray, when the city agreed to buy and preserve the property in 1979, it had specific uses in mind.
And it was to provide, I quote, a cultural center for encouragement of nature study and interpretation, conservation, gardening, and related activities, as well as various recreation classes. And our mission is to support girls, women, and LGBTQ plus people in accessing their power and improving their health through connections to the outdoors and to community.
Murray told KGNU that ever-increasing rents in Boulder make it hard for nonprofits to find functional space. She is eager for the group to have a new home near the mountains.
We take a social justice approach to the outdoors to ensure that it's not just people with financial means, and it's not just people that have white skin, and it's not just men that are able to get out and enjoy all that the mountains have to offer here. And so it just feels like there's this serendipity in the availability, the vision for a community space and what we want to do and the kind of community, the kind of office space that we want to be in and how we want to interact with our neighbors and our coworkers. So just felt incredibly serendipitous.
Women's Wilderness will occupy only 25% of the space at the Harbeck Bergheim House, subleasing the rest to groups with similar progressive ideas working on social and environmental justice issues. Marie says the third floor will be shared.
It might be that there's some co-working up there, but it's also going to be rentable community space that's going to be for like events or film screenings, speaker series, fundraisers, that kind of thing, both for the tenants in the building, but also for community members to use. It's a beautiful space that I don't know if you've seen the attic in that building, but it's like wood ceiling to floor and has these beautiful views of the Flatirons and neat little windows. And it's just really cool.
No, I haven't seen it, but it's apparently so cool the Bergheims let their three children roller skate up there. So maybe that's who's making all that noise? Because yes, the Harbeck Bergheim House is said to be haunted and often a stop on Boulder's ghost tours at Halloween, with psychics telling eager spirit seekers that Kate Harbeck and the beloved dog she treated like children are still there, guarding the historic landmark. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.